Good morning. My name is Valerie, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the NBPE Investor Update conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you, Mr. Vanlay. You may begin your conference.
Hello, and welcome to the NBPE Investor Update call. This is Peter Vanlay, and I am joined today by my colleagues, John Boozer and Doug Manner. As always, the materials we'll be using for today's call are available on our website, www.nbprivateequitypartners.com. We have been pleased with both our net asset value growth and the direction our stock price has been moving so far this year, and look forward to sharing more information with you on these and other matters. So turning to page one of our presentation, NBPE, as you know, is managed by Neuberger Berman. Neuberger is a 70-year-old independent global investment management firm managing client assets across equities, fixed income, and alternatives. Here at Neuberger, we manage over $200 billion in assets, have 1,700 employees in the U.S., Europe, Asia, and South America, and are majority owned and controlled by 275 of our senior professionals. As you can see on page two, we have a fully integrated approach to private equity investing across fund-to-funds, co-investments, and secondaries, all of which have been utilized for NBPE. We have been a private equity investor for more than 24 years, manage over $11 billion of commitments in private equity, and have 170 professionals in private equity in the U.S., Europe, and Asia. Turning to NBPE specifically on page three, NBPE is a closed-end investment company that invests in an actively managed portfolio of private equity fund investments and direct and co-investments. We have a current market cap of approximately $452 million, and we are proud to say that our net asset value development has and continues to outperform the listed private equity fund-to-funds peer group averages. We also have the strongest capital structure of any of the listed private equity fund-to-funds. Our ordinary shares are traded on the Euronext and the LSE, and our ZDPs are traded on the LSE. We continue to have a broadly diversified private equity portfolio valued at approximately $541 million as of April 30th. 76% of that is in fund investments, and 24% of that is in direct and co-investments. That percentage has been increasing, and we'll discuss that a bit more later. We have a tactical asset allocation approach with 39% of our NAV in special situations in distress, and we believe we're well positioned in the current market environment with 57% of our NAV having been invested in 2008 and later. And importantly, we are actively pursuing new investments, particularly direct private equity and yield-oriented investments. As you can see on page four, NBPE continues to pursue actions to enhance shareholder value. Since launching our capital return policy last October, NBPE has repurchased almost 800,000 shares, which has been accretive to NAV per share by approximately 5 cents. And we expect to continue to use a portion of our cash to repurchase shares throughout the first half of 2011. And beginning with the publishing of our first half 2011 financial information, we intend to return to our shareholders 50% of the realized net increase in NAV for each preceding six-month period. We have also increased our allocation to direct private equity and yield-oriented investments. We have committed approximately $50 million to 17 new direct and co-investments since the beginning of 2010. And as a result, our allocation to direct and co-investments has increased from 15% to 24% over the past year. With that, I would now like to hand it over to my colleague, Doug Manner, who will discuss our recent financial performance. Doug?
Thank you, Peter. Turning to slide five, there's a financial performance update as of April 30th, 2011. The two columns on this page are comparing NBPE's net asset value as of April 30th to the audited year-end numbers as of 31 December 2010. During the first 4 months of the year, NBPE's NAV per share increased by 3.7%. We currently have a total private equity fair value of $540.8 million. That's comprised of $418 million in fund investments, $122.6 million in direct and co-investments. We have a private equity investment level of 100%. That is calculated as the private equity fair value divided by the net asset value. But importantly, we continue to have $67.8 million of cash on hand, and we have zero borrowings outstanding under the credit facility. Turning over to the next set of slides is an update on the diversification of NBPE's portfolio. We continue to have a very broadly diversified portfolio that's tactically positioned by asset class and investment type. As you'll see on slide 6, currently 39% of the fair value is invested in special situation funds and yield-oriented direct investments. 25% of the portfolio currently invested in mid-cap buyout investments through both funds and co-investments. On slide 7 is an update on NBPE's diversification by year of investment. Importantly, this is based on the year in which the underlying company investments were made, as opposed to the vintage year of the underlying funds. NBPE's portfolio is very well positioned. Approximately 57% of the fair value has been invested in 2008 or later, and continues to be broadly diversified in terms of its vintage year. A little more detail on the year of investment is outlined on slide 8, where you can see how we've tactically positioned the portfolio over time, going from the top left to the top right and then to the bottom left and to the bottom right. You can see how the weighting in the portfolio has shifted over time. And from 2008 through year-to-date 2011, over 80% of the current fair value has been invested in special situations, distressed, as well as mid-cap buyouts. On slide 9 is an update on the portfolio activity during the first 4 months of 2011. The portfolio has been very active in terms of generating realizations and distributions, including the strategic asset sale proceeds that were received in January. NBPE has received $117 million of distributions and sale proceeds during the first 4 months. But even excluding those strategic asset sale proceeds, the portfolio has been net cash flow positive by over $13 million. And importantly, the portfolio continues to have a high velocity of capital. As you can see, the weighted average age at distribution outlined there at the bottom right, with typically 2.3 to 3.6 years that capital being outstanding before leading to a distribution and a realization. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to my colleague, John Boozer, who will go into our increased allocation to direct and yield-earning investments.
Thanks, Doug. So if you're on page 10 of the outline, you'll see some of the ways that we approach the direct and yield-oriented investments. Peter had mentioned, as well as Doug, our increased focus on those, and our allocation is much higher than it was previously due to that focus. We're pleased to have a experienced senior co-investment team, which NBPE invests alongside of. They have 75 years of combined experience, and it includes persons who are former lead investors at small and middle market private equity firms. So it's a very experienced team that's looking at the co-investments with us. We also approach co-investments differently than others who might play in that marketplace. First, we focus on strategic minority investments rather than the large syndicated transactions that many folks will invest in. Secondly, we look for opportunistic restructuring investments and add-on investments, so not always investing just at the outset of a transaction, but looking for opportunities where additional capital is needed in a private equity company during its life as a private company. Finally, we have a very much deep diligence process that has a bottoms-up analysis that the experienced team conducts, and we include very specifically in that an assessment of early exit opportunities. As Doug just went through on the prior page, the weighted average of our distributions across our entire portfolio is a relatively young group, and as Peter pointed out earlier, a large portion of our capital has been invested since 2008. So we have a portfolio across the board that's well positioned for exits in this current environment. The team has substantial deal flow with over 830 actionable opportunities in the last 5 years, of which about 40 have been pursued across our entire platform. We also think there's a compelling market opportunity and economics to NBPE to participate in the co-investment market. First of all, the market opportunity, direct co-investment capital is needed and desired by the general partners. When they need some extra capital, they'd rather come to a co-investor rather than a competing private equity firm. Secondly, these co-investments are made with no fees and no carries for the most part, so rather than paying the 2% and 20% common fees that are paid through a buyout fund, usually these come into NBPE with no or little fee and carry. Page 11 is a list of the direct transactions that we've done so far during the first 4 months of this calendar year. On the left side are the five new buyout co-investments that we've done, and we've committed $12.7 million across these. You'll see that there are two of the companies, CommScope and Cineverse, are in the wireless communication space, one in the actual infrastructure, a supplier of hardware, and the second actually keeping track of the transactions between carriers so that the proper billing and settling up of those transactions can be done and charged between carriers. In addition, in the communication space generally, Pepcom is Germany's fifth largest cable operator, and J. Crew is in the United States a well-known brand of specialty retailer of apparel that has a footprint in the U.S. That's actually fewer stores than you would expect given the well-known name of the brand, and has not expanded as much internationally as one would have expected either. So we think there's good growth opportunities in that co-investment opportunity. On the right side of the page are some new yield-oriented direct investments. You'll see they're both royalty notes. Those two notes have an average yield of 17.6 to maturity. Royalty note is a secured instrument where a stream of royalty payments from an established drug are put into a special purpose vehicle. The royalty notes have first claim against 100% of the proceeds from those royalties, and so it's an amortizing note as each month's payments come in. So those are two royalty notes that we were able to source alongside our secondary team, providing additional benefit from having the entire NBP, Neuberger Berman Alternatives team working on NBPE's investment. Page 12 goes through our reporting and our timely and transparent approach to valuations. We believe we continue to lead the marketplace in getting information quickly and transparently out to our partners, and have recently received a 10 out of 10 rating in an analyst report for our reporting. You can see our approach is proactive and conservative approach to valuations. Approximately 32% of the private equity fair value is marked to market on a monthly basis through credit funds and public securities, and the private company valuations are adjusted each month and quarter as new information is received. Each time we publish a valuation, we include this pie chart that's on the right, so you as an investor will know how current various parts of the information are. And finally, on page 13, we have a very strong capital position, as Doug mentioned earlier. Because of the strategic asset sale, we actually have a cash balance at this point of $67.8 million, and we've completely paid down our credit facility. We have unfunded commitments of only $115, and when you take our cash and our $250 million undrawn credit facility, we have a 276% excess ability to draw capital compared to our unfunded commitments. So our goal is to continue to make new investments that will drive our cash and cash equivalents certainly back down to zero, so we can be fully invested in private equity and not have significant cash balances. But we feel we've put ourselves in very good position to invest in a marketplace that's ripe with opportunities by adjusting our portfolio through a strategic asset sale, and we'll continue to make investments as we have through the first 4 months. With that, I'll turn it back over to Peter.
Thanks, John. As shown on page 14, I am pleased to report that NBPE's share price has increased by approximately 56% over the last 12 months. I am also pleased to report that our discount to NAV has narrowed to approximately 16.4% at the narrower end of the range for the listed private equity fund-to-funds peer group. However, while we've made good progress on this front, there is still more work for us to do. This is based on both an absolute and a relative basis. On an absolute basis, we believe that any discount is unacceptable, and it's our job to make sure that the stock price does accurately reflect the value of our portfolio. On a relative basis, while we are better than almost all of the listed fund-to-funds peer group, this discount level is only just in line with the direct listed private equity vehicles. And given our increasing focus on direct and co-investments, we believe that over time, the group of direct private equity peers will be a better comp set for us. Turning to our trading liquidity, you can see on page 15 that NBPE's ordinary shares have a greater liquidity than is reported on the Euronext and the LSE. During 2010-2011, our cumulative trading volume on these exchanges was approximately 9 million shares. However, there was an additional 2.9 million shares of volume reported in over-the-counter trades. That is something that we report on a regular basis because we know that information is oftentimes somewhat intransparent for investors, and so that's something we will continue to do, is report on a regular basis on the volume of over-the-counter trades to the extent that we become aware of those. With regard to our ordinary share repurchases on page 16, we believe we've added meaningful value to our shareholders through these share repurchases. Since inception, NBPE has repurchased approximately 3.9 million shares, or 7.3% of the originally issued shares. These cumulative share repurchases have been accretive to NAV per share by approximately 50 cents. And since launching our capital return policy in October last year, we've repurchased approximately 800,000 shares, and that's been accretive by 5 cents. As I mentioned earlier, but I believe it bears repeating, NBPE expects to use our cash to repurchase a portion of our cash to repurchase shares throughout the rest of the first half of this year. And beginning with the publishing of our first half 2011 financial results, we intend to return to shareholders 50% of the realized net increase in NAV for each six-month period. And we will, of course, be reporting to investors regularly on our progress on doing so. As you can see on page 17, our ZDPs continue to trade well at an 11.3% premium to their accreted value. Based on the current market on their current market price, they have a GRY of approximately 5.4%. In summary, we believe that NBPE continues to offer a compelling investment opportunity for shareholders. NBPE has an experienced investment manager with a strong long-term track record, has a high-quality private equity portfolio, and a strong financial position with capital available for making of new investments. With that, we would like to open up to questions. Valerie?
If you would like to ask a question at this time, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. You have a question from Steve Hall with EH Family Capital.
Hello, Peter. It's Steve Hall.
Hi there.
Question about the payout of realized net increase in net asset value. Can you give a specific accounting definition? I'm wondering if it's just the realized net realized gains line that you would see on your financials, or is there a different accounting definition for that?
It's not. We take into account not just the net realized gains on the investment portfolio. We also take into account expenses, of course, as well. But we also want to make sure that we are only returning capital in a situation where NAV is increasing at the same time that you have realized gains. So if you had a situation where you had unrealized losses that were larger than the realized gains, that would not be a period in which that there would be capital put towards the program. So we look at both the realized gains, but then also look at on the unrealized side, what's going on in the portfolio as well as the expenses. Those are all things that are taken into account. What we'll be doing, just to be clear, as we go forward with the reporting, and that's something that we'll be doing starting with we said we'd be doing this based upon the financial results for the first half of the year. That's it. We will be going and actually providing a calculation on that point starting with the next quarterly report, so that's something that's transparent for investors.
Terrific. And one other question, Peter. You mentioned that you feel like directs versus fund-to-funds will be a better comp set in the future. What type of benchmark do you have in terms of asset allocation for that time of transition, meaning, do you expect that comp set to hit when your directs are more than 50% of the portfolio? If you can just give a little bit more color around that.
Who people comp us to is not our decision. It's obviously investors' decisions. So that's something I think is probably more for each individual prospective shareholder to decide on their own. We focus, though, on when we look at sort of what the discount is, we focus on both the absolute level, which we don't believe is appropriate, you know, for us and frankly for some other people in the sector as well, but particularly for us. And also we look at the relative, where we are on a relative basis, and that's one where we would just point out to people that, you know, while we are at the narrower end of the fund-to-funds range, it's basically we're pretty close to the average for the direct groups. And even though, you know, we already have 24% of our portfolio in directs, and actually some of those people in the directs area, you know, have a meaningful portion of their portfolio that are actually in funds. So, you know, we just are pointing that out to everyone so people are making sure that everyone's aware of, you know, where we sit relative to others. We think that's particularly the case given the fact that we, you know, intend to continue to increase our exposure to directs over time.
Perfect. Thanks, Peter.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. You have a question from Michael Stern with Marin Capital Management.
Hi there, guys. Two closely related questions. Could you give us some color on how you anticipate splitting your investments going forward between yield-oriented and equity-oriented direct investments, and also what your current thinking is about interest rates and how you're going to manage your interest rate exposure on the yield-oriented investments? Thanks.
Sure. So, in terms of the split between on the direct between the equity, you know, deals, the private equity deals that we do, and the more yield oriented investments, you know, as John, if you just go back to the slide of what, you know, of what John pointed out on page 11, you know, we actually went and we did 5 equity deals, we did 2 yield oriented investments, but the average size on the yield oriented investments were larger than the ones on the equity side. That was driven much more by the opportunity set that we happen to have seen year to date. It was not when we look at investment opportunities, we look at we look at each deal on its own merits, size it according to its own merits, rather than invest on that basis. So if there are no good yield oriented deals, we won't do any. If there are a lot, we'll do more. You know, so it's not something we think we have room in our portfolio for both. And we don't think that we're anywhere close to sort of limits, if you will, on either category. So it's much more a question of what deals do we see on a more opportunistic basis rather than us having a set exposure we want to have just to yield or just to direct private equity investments. With regard to the interest rate risk, that's a very real risk that we stay, you know, that we are very focused on. You know, all other things being equal, we obviously prefer, you know, variable rate as opposed to fixed rate debt instruments. So obviously some of the yield-oriented investments that we bought have been fixed rate, but they're typically very high fixed rate. And also, if you look at the two yield-oriented investments that we've made, both of those are, you know, these royalty notes. Royalty notes have a quarterly amortization of the principal. And so these are, on average, shorter duration types of investments than you would typically find in a fixed income area. So that's actually giving us capital back, which we believe is minimizing, you know, that risk in terms of having, you know, the very legitimate concern you're raising about having kind of a long-term debt exposure, you know, in an area, in an environment where interest rates are more likely to rise than to fall. But because we're actually getting that capital back relatively quickly, we think that helps mitigate that risk.
Yeah, Peter, I just add, of our overall 6 investments that are yield-oriented at this point, 5 of the 6 are either LIBOR-based or amortizing or both. So we really have focused on avoiding long-term interest rate risk.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Henry Freeman with Liberum Capital.
Hi, thanks for the update. Just on those yield, the royalty note investments that you've been making, I imagine they're probably, the coupon's probably around mid-teen percent. In terms of private equity returns, obviously this looks a little bit below this. Are you buying in the secondary market and so are buying essentially the discount and the yield is therefore greater? Or what's the kind of window that you'll continue buying these opportunities at?
Sorry, do you mean, Henry, with regard to the royalty notes?
Okay. Yeah, just specifically on those two royalty notes that, and a few of the others that you've been doing probably over the last 9 to 12 months.
Sure. Well, a couple things there. One, we think they are a very good risk-return profile. So while we very much are looking to generate, private equity levels of return, we think that for every particular investment that one looks at, you have to have a return that's appropriate for the risk involved. And so we believe that these are a very good risk-return profile at the return rates that you described. These are generally coming in sort of the high teens, these royalty notes that we have. And we've been very pleased with the performance of all of them, with all of them to date. To John's point as well, though, these are ones that are amortizing principal quickly. So, and, if you look at our capital position right now, we have $65 million of cash. We have $250 million of unused credit facility. And so if we can go and be making investments that are have a shorter average duration where we can be generating, high teens returns on those investments in a very risk-mitigated way, we think that's in a very appropriate use of the company's capital. We don't believe that one of these royalty notes, we're not saying, okay, we're going to do the royalty note and we're not going to go and do an equity investment instead. We actually are in we have a capital position where we can do both, and so that's exactly what we're doing when we find the right transaction.
And I would just add, with respect to the returns relative to private equity, you also have to factor in that these royalty notes are basically fee-free and carry-free of the general underlying GP fees. And so on a relative net basis, there's a closer level of attractiveness of the returns.
Okay, that's useful. And just very briefly, if you don't mind me asking one more, I'd love a bit of color in terms of what you're seeing in the co-investment space. Are you preferring some of the larger size deals? I see, obviously you've got J. Crew in there. I'd be interested in the kind of size deals and particular sectors that you're co-investing in.
Yeah, interesting. If you look across our platform as a firm, MB Alternatives, most of the transactions, the vast majority of the transactions that we've co-invested in over the last number of years have been small and mid-sized transactions, though we have done some larger transactions as well. Once again, we do not inherently think that large or small mid on a co-investment basis is good or bad. What we focus on very much more is the individual transaction, and we're very pleased with the individual transaction dynamics and risk return profile for each of the transactions that we've done and that we've talked about today. I would, if I had to estimate. I would say that I would expect that, going forward, more of the deals that we would be doing prospectively would be small and mid-sized transactions, because oftentimes those are the general partners that need co-investment capital more than the larger cap funds. But, that's just an estimate on my part. What we actually do will be based very much on the deals that we see. That we think are attractive.
Thanks very much for that.
There are no further questions at this time.
Well, great. Well, with that, I'd like to thank everyone for calling in today. And as always, we can be reached by phone or by email at any time. So please feel free to contact us in the meantime with any questions you may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.